I remember, you know, this really crucial moment. I got a couple fights in the county jail. I was getting in the mix of some bullshit because stuff happens in there. And I got put in an isolation cell. And I was actually coming off of drugs because we were getting high in there. Because I was doing the same stuff. I just wanted to numb out my pain and try to stay naive as long as possible. Yeah, I didn't want to deal with reality. And I remember they finally put me in this isolation cell. And I'm looking in the mirror and going, dude, what the hell happened to you? Like, this isn't who you're supposed to be. And you're doing the same stuff in here as you were doing out there. And it just dawned on me, like, gosh, if I don't change, nothing's gonna change. And I've got a shot in hell to make it out of this situation. And I just had this awakening, man, where I was like, it's me. It's not my fucking parents. It's not the judge. It's not the kids at the party that aren't telling the truth. It is 100% me.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point, listeners? It's your boy, Chris. Chad is here and looking good, looking very muscular, which is convenient for this episode. Chad, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing good. It's a little late out here in the Midwest, right. But I think I've only missed one this year. We're in March. Excited to talk with our guests today. I think both of us, along with a lot of our friends, have been kind of on this health journey, which I think plays just a huge role in our performance at work, performance as a parent, as a spouse, all of those things. So excited to jump into some of that.
Yeah, actually, I think you and I both met our guests at Tommy's at Home Service Freedom. That's actually the first time I met Michael. And it was briefly too, because I think you were just getting ready to go on. And, that's the first time I'd ever even actually heard about it, but I knew Tommy was doing something. I just didn't know what at that point. Right. And then that's when I was able to connect dots. I think that was in Orlando, at the Orlando event. And our guest, I mean, there's a possibility, Michael, that you might have to cut this thing early because your wife is ready to pop with that new baby, man. Are you excited or what?
Yeah, dude. I mean, Saturday is the day. We got a C-section scheduled and, you know, family's everything for me. That's really was the main reason why I started changing my life when I did and wanted to get on this path of sobriety, personal development, health. It's to be the best father and leader for my family that I could be. So I love it, man. I'm super fired up and it's going to shake things up a little, but we just adapt, right?
Well, I'm excited. We got Shawn Michael Crane on the podcast episode. And again, like I said, you know, Chad and I met him and then I just saw that he made this post the other day. So I knew that he had, you know, him and his wife were about to have a baby because she looks very pregnant. So I knew it was getting pretty close, but I'm excited to have you on here. And what's cool about this, and just for those who don't know, Shawn, if you haven't heard from Tommy, but he's got Unstoppable 365, which is something that I am participating in right now, actively participating. I think I'm like 3 months into this thing already, which has been awesome for me. I really love my coaches that have been working with us. But he also has a podcast that's called Unspeakable Mindset Podcast. Does a ton of speaking, great speaker, has a cool story, which is always, you know, good for speaking. And then an author. I see your book hanging on the shelf or on the wall back there. And what's interesting, Chad, is that, you know, Shawn also being a former prison inmate, not like you, Chad, we won't tell your story online. Okay. Chad's a real gangster, if you know what I mean, if you can't tell. But we've actually had quite a few former prisoners on this show. Now that I think about it, we had Weldon Long on here, also has a great prison story. Michael Franzese was on here. Mobster, is the only free living crime boss still off that top 50 list, like pretty badass. But Chad, we won't share your story. Okay. So I told you I would keep it secret. Your secret's safe with me. Okay. But I'm excited for this episode because, you know, I've been on this journey and Chad's kind of been on this journey with me too. Actually, he started before I did. And it's just around, you know, we spent so much time in these businesses just running these things and running crazy with them and spending all your time, effort, and focus on it. And sometimes you forget to take care of number one, which is yourself, right? And how does that impact everything in your life? And I kind of have these little four pillars I try to focus on. And my fitness pillar has been one that went by the wayside for quite some time, but not since really like July of last year. I ended up going to this camp, if you call it. I don't know what to call it, like a mastermind fitnessy camp thing that I went to back in Dallas called Rise Up Kings. And it kind of set me down a path to like just kind of refocus on myself. And then finally, after getting chased down a little bit, you know, by Sean and the team, I decided to join. And I'll tell you what, man, like so far, super impressed. I'm going to give a shout out to Matt. Like he's there anytime I need him. I reach out to him with anything. When he, you know, busts my chops because I went over on fat and fell short on protein, he certainly lets me know about it. And then, but he gives me suggestions, right? But I remember telling him right out of the gate, dude, I'm not definitely not the guy you're going to have to motivate. Like, I'm not the guy that you have to motivate to go to the gym. I always go. I go and I might not do Wednesday on Wednesday because I traveled and I'm speaking somewhere, but I make up Wednesday on Saturday or Sunday. Like, so I'm still making my shit up. But the point is I'm making progress. And because I knew I was going into another phase of business where I needed to be the absolute best version of myself, I needed to focus on myself. So it's been great, man. So I'm excited to have you on here and just talk about, you know, because it's not just me you work with and Tommy, you know, Mel, our friend, you know, Chad and I's friend, Tommy Mel, you work with, you've worked with others. And I want to try to talk about what you're doing with some of these business owners and these leaders and what you're seeing from these experiences, right? Because though you have a lot of talk tracks around fitness, mindset, discipline, redemption, in working with business leadership, I think there's a lot of cool overlapping stuff that we can talk about that our listeners will enjoy. So glad to be on here, bro.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. You got a great radio voice too. I was surprised. I didn't expect that. Right?
Well, thank you very much, Sean.
You and Ryan Fenn could compete a little bit. I didn't know that about Ryan. Yeah, we got a lot of guys in the trades. Ryan Fenn, Justin Judd, Dave Carroll. I mean, we got a great list of super successful and inspiring guys that are in the trades that I've been able to build relationships with by attending events through Facebook organically with content. Because, you know, like yourself, Chris, you want to be the best in your life. Look at the business you've built. Like, I've seen what you've done. It's super impressive. But it comes at a cost. And a lot of these guys, they neglect their health because they're so focused on business. By the time they get home, what, you want to spend time with the family or just kick your feet up? I don't know. But when you're younger, you can get away with it. And then as you get into your mid-30s, into your 40s, you know, it starts catching up with guys. And they realize, hey, you know, I don't have the focus, the energy, the drive that I once had. And for me, like, it's a tool, man. Fitness, nutrition, everything I do to optimize my health, it is a tool because I want to feel the absolute best I could feel every day without drugs, without alcohol. Like, I want to be able to feel gratitude. I want to be able to feel high energy. I want to have positive thoughts. That's the energy I'm bringing home to my family. That's the energy I put into my content that I bring to my clients. That's how I incrementally create more success in my life. And I learned a long time ago that it first started with me. If I wasn't successful in my habits, my routines, my commitments, how the heck could I build an exceptional life consistently over time? I couldn't.
Yeah. And that, so 100%. But there's like there's a whole background to that because that's not how it was for, that wasn't how it was for you. So but hold on a second before we go there though, because I don't want to let Chad down and I don't want to let our listeners down. And in the spirit of this little crane that's coming here soon, you're gonna need some jokes for your tool belt there, Sean. Okay.
I thought Sean had him distracted, so we didn't have to listen to this. I thought he was rolling. We were just gonna roll right into it. It was gonna be great, and here we are.
No, I want to hear these.
Well, there. Trust me. So does everyone listening.
Hold on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen.
These are gonna be good. And you know what? I'm doing you a favor, Sean, just like I do Chad a favor every week, and I give him these so that way he can be funny because he's not. Okay. So here they are. We're going to start with a couple of dad jokes. And this first one's going to be a little Indiana humor since Chad is in the great state of Indiana. Chad, Sean, feel free to answer if you know. And here's a good chance that you might. What does corn say when it gets a compliment? Do you know? Aw, shucks. You know why that one fails? Because if you aren't in a state that's got corn or been around corn, you would not know what shucking corn means. So, yeah. But you know what, Chad, you know.
I think that's a fall joke. You know, like spring, we're just planting the crops. there's no shucking going on until the fall. So I think you roll that one back out come October, November.
I wish you would shut your mouth. Oh, okay. Moving on to the next one. So air, this was actually more of an observation. Okay. And it was, I don't know when the last time you guys went to the gas station, you know how they have like the little air pump things for your tire at the gas stations. You know, air used to be free at the gas stations, but now it's $1.50, which is ridiculous. But do you know why? Inflation. Hey, inflation. Last one. Okay. This is actually a classic. I think everyone in this room right now on my podcast team, we got Rio in here. We got Ryan. I think they're gonna know the answer to this. Ryan will for sure know it. How do you make a tissue dance? A tissue, you know, like you blow your nose with it. How do you make a tissue dance?
I bet you I know this one.
Say it.
You give it a little boogie.
You put a little boogie in it. Atta boy.
My wife got me a dad joke book. I was trying to find it so I could share a couple, but we'll do that next time.
Well, those come from a calendar that was given to me by my daughter because she said my jokes suck. Well, little did she know, these actually make me worse. Just ask Chad. Okay, that's actually a pretty good dad joke. Put a little boogie in. I've heard it before. It's a pretty good one. Okay, there you go. I've done my good deed for the day. Okay, now let's jump into this thing too, because I do want you to share just a little bit, and maybe let's not make a novel out of this thing, Sean. But let's take maybe 5 minutes or so, give a little bit of your background, kind of go through, you know, the fast track journey of it, because I need the listeners to understand where you're coming from. So we know that this is an important part of everyone's life. I'm talking about what, you know, Sean does. Regardless of where you're at in any business, because, you know, your health, both physically and mentally is an important part to, you know, everything. But I need you guys to understand where he's coming from and what even makes him, you know, an authority here to be able to work with you, and why he works with guys like myself and Tommy, when we have all clearly have tons of options and choices of people we can want to work with. But we landed with Sean and his team. So Sean, go ahead and share then a little bit of that, you know, that come up. You know, and then let's go into, and then I'll actually go into asking a little bit more detailed questions around like the how and the what.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, I'm here in Santa Barbara, California. This is where I grew up. Beautiful beach town, north of LA. It's different, you know, than most of California. We've got like our own little protective bubble here. But I grew up, Chris, with all the opportunity in the world, man. I wanted to be a professional baseball player, loved sports, loved surfing, was always out doing stuff as a kid. And then I started realizing, you know, my parents were struggling big time. They were battling addiction. And I started seeing things at home that were traumatic. You know, my parents fighting, or my mom overdosing when I was a little kid, just being lifeless on the floor. And this became a reoccurring theme in my life, man. And then at 14, both my parents just pretty much left my life. My dad went to prison. Came home one day and he was blacked out with a pistol. And we didn't know what he was going to do. And the cops came. And there was this standoff and he surrendered, thank God. He didn't get killed in front of us, but he went to prison. And I was a freshman in high school trying to figure out who I was as a young man. And then I lost my father, right? And so shortly after that, my mom just fell apart. Her addiction got the best of her, stopped coming home. And I really lost both my parents what felt like overnight. So I went from this kid with tons of dreams and ambition and goals and felt fully capable to pursue them to a kid that felt broken and ashamed of my life. And I went through this really dark period from 14 to 23 where I just wanted to numb that feeling out. I had so much pain and anger and resentment towards my parents. So I started smoking weed with kids that were getting in trouble. I started drinking with them. I stopped going to school. Before you know it, I became this completely different person. And throughout my adolescence, I didn't apply myself to anything. Barely got through high school, worked for my uncle's tree service business out of high school, climbing trees, learning what it meant to earn a dollar, though, which was really important. Like, I know there's a lot of blue collar guys that probably listen to this podcast that started doing manual labor at a young age. And I respect the hell out of those guys because I did that. My family comes from a blue collar background. But I still had those wounds, man, those deeper afflictions that I hadn't dealt with. And I was still numbing myself with drugs and alcohol. So that led me, man, to a party lifestyle where I was chasing girls. I was a wild man. I was never a bad person, but I was definitely making bad choices. And so one night I go to this party here on the Mesa in Santa Barbara, California. If anybody's been here, it's like this iconic area on the beach. It's beautiful, mansions, everything. And I'm just there to drink, socialize, and have a good time. And I've been to a lot of those parties, college parties where at the end of the night, there's usually a fight or an altercation. I would get involved in those. I would be watching those. You know, it was like a typical thing at that age. And so this night, it was different, man. These two groups of guys started squaring off with each other. And I was right there watching the fight, getting too close, wanting to see what was going on. And when the fight broke out, I got tackled from the side and I'm like wrestling with this guy, you know, thinking that they're jumping me. I thought, damn, dude, I was too close to the fight. These guys are jumping me. They're going to start stomping on me and stuff. So I'm throwing punches at this guy, trying to stand up. And when I do, he just laid face down on the ground. And I thought, okay, that's really weird. You know, this is like split second stuff. And my friend that I went to the party with is calling me over to the street. Sean, let's go. Let's get out of here, man. Let's go. And as I get up to him under the streetlight, I'm just covered in blood. Like my face is drenched. My shirt is dripping off me. And I freaked out. I was like, dude, what the hell? And his eyes lit up, you know? He's like, what did you do, man? Well, what did you do? And I told him, I didn't do anything. I don't know what happened. What are you talking about? And he starts running away. And he's like, let's go. Let's get out of here. And I follow him. And so we go back to his house that night and just pass out. We're hammered. And the next day I wake up, like the worst feeling in the world, like a nightmare when you wake up, but you know it's a real thing. I get my phone out and I Google, you know, fight on the Mesa. And it said two men had been stabbed. One was in critical condition in a coma. So in that moment, I knew my whole life was going to change. And as naive as I was, I thought the cops were going to come question me and try to press me for information. And ultimately it would work out somehow. You know, I had no idea that they were actually looking at me as the prime suspect, which they were. And so what they did is they came that day with AR-15s, forensic unit, dogs, and they arrested me and they charged me with attempted murder. And they booked me into the county jail. I was 23 facing life in prison. So in that moment, it felt too surreal to even grasp as a reality. You know, it's like, this is not happening. This is a mistaken identity. They don't have all the information. Surely I'm going to get let out of this place, you know? And I remember the first day I went to court and I walked in and there was all these photographers for the news press and all these, you know, news press members writing stuff down, taking my picture. And I'm all shackled up, walking in front of everybody. And the first thing my lawyer said to me, she came over all panicked and she goes, hey, the judge and the district attorney are talking right now about amending your charges to homicide. The victim's in a coma. He's been in a coma a week and a half. The rumor is that he's brain dead and he's not going to make it. And that's when I was like, damn, dude, this is no joke. Like, this is a nightmare that I'm not going to be able to escape from or wake up from.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
And, you know, for 8 months, man, I fought that case and I tried to do everything I could to get out of it, you know. But no witnesses would come forward in my favor. Nobody that knew the truth wanted to get involved with the police. Like, they knew I didn't do it. There was two other guys arrested with me. And ultimately, they sentenced me to 5.5 years in prison for assault with a deadly weapon.
Wait, did you have to use a court appointed attorney, or were you able to hire an attorney?
I mean, here's the thing: if you don't have money for an attorney, you get whatever they give you. Now, in hindsight, if I had money to hire a badass team, I probably would have got off or got a much reduced sentence compared to what I had to get. You know, they appointed me a lawyer and the whole team thought I was guilty. I had a private detective that would go out on my behalf. And I remember one day he came to visiting and he just acted way different towards me. I was like, oh, he thinks I'm guilty. You know, like nobody believed me. And if I saw the police report and I read everything that they wrote down and saw it from their vantage point, I would have assumed I was guilty too, because I was the only person seen fighting when this guy got blood all over my shirt. I fled the scene. It looked horrible. And if I could sit back and like tell you detail by detail, moment to moment that night, how everything transpired, for me to be that close to the guy, for me to be tackled from that angle, all the people to come out just to see me wrestling with this guy, not the time where he got stabbed. Like, it happened in such a way where I know it happened for a reason. That's what I believe in my heart. Some people don't believe that way, but I do. Like, the way it changed my life and the way those chain of events took place, it's undeniable that it happened in such a way that's like, it's crazy, man. It's like a book or a movie where you watch it and you're like, damn, I can't believe that happened to that guy. Like, I could not imagine if that happened to me. And I'm sitting in my freaking cell every day thinking, this is actually happening to me, you know? But it was the best thing that ever did, because I probably wouldn't be here today. And at the very best, I don't think I would have made it, but at the very best, I'd be probably struggling with my sobriety, living a meager, average life, you know? And I'm grateful that it did happen in hindsight.
So, I mean, talk about a great unwanted lesson in mental fortitude, having to go through that situation. Now, wait, how long were you down?
5.5 years.
See, that's me, Chad, knowing the lingo, just so you know. I wasn't down with OPP or anything like that. It's how long was he in prison? Like that. See, Sean, see, I know we can talk to one another. Chad couldn't have that conversation with
me. I follow.
Okay. So you're starting to learn some of these, like the gifts that you have now while you're in, because you've got to figure some things out. There's a lot of things you have to figure out while you're in prison. So maybe just walk us through a little bit of when you start to pick up, like some of the skills and things that you're sharing today, it's stemming from this stint. Right. Because,
it was like the Harvard of personal development and entrepreneurship, because it taught me everything I needed to be successful. First, I had to learn to just get out of my own way. You hear people say that, right? 99% of people's problems is they sabotage themselves. I used to do that all the time, whether it was with my sobriety, just having these internal issues I hadn't dealt with, you know, a number of things. So, the first step for me was like 100% honesty. I remember, you know, this really crucial moment. I got a couple fights in the county jail. I was getting in the mix of some bullshit because stuff happens in there. And I got put in an isolation cell. And I was actually coming off of drugs because we were getting high in there. Because I was doing the same stuff. I just wanted to numb out my pain and try to stay naive as long as possible. Yeah, like, I didn't want to deal with reality. And I remember they finally put me in this isolation cell. And I'm looking in the mirror and going, dude, what the hell happened to you? Like, this isn't who you're supposed to be. And you're doing the same stuff in here as you were doing out there. And it just dawned on me, like, gosh, if I don't change, nothing's going to change. And I don't got a shot in hell to make it out of this situation. And I just had this awakening, man, where I was like, it's me. It's not my fucking parents. It's not the judge. It's not the kids at the party that aren't telling the truth. It is 100% me. And that was when I really decided to take ownership of my life. No matter what happened, it was ultimately on me and how I reacted and what I did with those circumstances. And I remember in that moment just feeling so much pain and regret. You know, I started reflecting on my life and all the things I didn't do and the goals I had as a kid and the time I wasted and the stuff I took for granted. And it just pierced this hole in my heart, man. Like, the pain was horrific. And I had to just sit there in that pain. I couldn't go numb it out with drugs or alcohol like I always did. I couldn't run from it and get busy and distracted. I had to sit in that pain for weeks and weeks and weeks. And finally, it did something internally to me, man. It like lit this fire. I realized, okay, I'm either just going to wither away in the cell and just basically die what I felt like, or I'm going to fight for my life. And I chose to fight. And I chose to make a decision to be my truest, best self, like my authentic self. Because for so long, I had hid behind a mask and I had gone along with the crowd. And I knew that's not who I wanted to be. So the first step for me was like getting clear on who I wanted to be and who I would be every step forward in my life, you know? And so the second thing was I had to get sober and stay sober. I knew without sobriety, I wouldn't change. And I saw so many people growing up die, accidentally overdose, ruin their lives. I saw my parents fall apart in front of me and I was doing the same thing. So I made a decision to get sober, and it was that decision that started to move my life in the right direction. And then it was as simple, man, as waking up every day and going, what can I do today to better myself? You know, I can't worry about all the stuff outside of my control. What can I do today within my control to improve who I am? And I started working out every day. I started reading books. I started looking up words in the dictionary to pass time and just to educate myself. I started improving my penmanship and my letters back home. And I mean, all this was taking place in a tiny little 6x8 cell. That's all I could do. But I just started doing those things every day, relentlessly, nonstop. And that's when I started building the right habits and reinforcing the mindset of, you know, what it took to actually be successful long term.
Sean, I got a question for you. So first off, I appreciate you sharing that story and being so vulnerable. To me, I was like getting goosebumps of like, oh my God, I couldn't imagine if that like happened, like your life is just altered in one instant. How do you approach people who, you know, obviously you work with, you know, a lot of successful people who are seeing success, but also at the same time, maybe not getting there in the most efficient manner possible. Like, you know, hey, you're, you know, totally neglecting your health. Yes, you've seen success in business, but oh, you could be a better person as a, you know, a spouse or a father, or, you know, you could be even better in business. How do you approach those people who maybe haven't like had that like life altering event? Like everything seems to be going pretty good, or so it seems on the surface, but how do you get them to dig deeper and say, oh, there's so much more if you can get these things right?
Great question, Chad.
Yeah, such a good question. One of the hardest things is to get people to change who haven't gone through something painful enough to change, right? Like pain is the greatest motivator we come across. And the thing is, you got to get them to talk about stuff out loud. You know, Dale Carnegie references to this and how to win friends and influence people. Like you got to get people to take ownership of the idea, or for that idea to swell up inside of them for them to take ownership, right? And the way we do this is getting them to speak about things out loud. When you talk about your problems or talk about your life or talk about stuff out loud, the brain starts to process that information differently. You know, that's what writing did for me in my jail cell. I started just journaling every day. Before that, I thought journaling was like for girls. I thought a diary was lame. You know, I had all these biases. And then I started learning about myself, and I'd like write these things down, and then I'd think about it and reflect on it. And my whole paradigm started changing. The same thing happens when we talk out loud, is it's a pattern interrupt, you know? So a good coach or mentor, like I shouldn't spend all the time talking. I should ask the right questions that guide them towards these realizations for themselves. Then it sticks, then it makes sense. So that's my goal, is I want to learn about people I work with. I want to understand, you know, maybe why they're content or why they haven't changed, and then what's at stake if they don't, and get them to voice that stuff out loud.
Yeah. Chad, do you journal in the morning or do anything like that? I don't think you do. Do you? I can't remember if you said you do.
Yeah. I write to my kids every morning. So, that's like my journal, is I just write to them and, talk to them about what I'm feeling. So one day, when they're old enough to, now Blake's getting, she's kindergarten, so she's picking up some words, but she can't read fully yet. But yeah, my hope is I have all these journals that I hope to share with them one day, and just kind of, I guess to your point, Sean, it's like explain what you're feeling. Like, you know, while I'm not speaking it out loud, I'm writing it down. Like, hey, yesterday sucked. This is what I was feeling. However, today I woke up and this is how I'm going to attack it. And I think it's just that, to me, what I've understood as a leader is being vulnerable is a superpower, and sharing with the people that you lead, sharing with, you know, those that you come in contact with, like that you are struggling. I think so many times as a leader, it's put on this coat of armor and nothing affects me, and I wake up early and I attack the day and all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, we all have things that bring us down. We all have situations that put us in a bad mood or take us to a bad place. And I think just sharing that, to me, makes us human. And when we're able to communicate on that human level, to me, to your point, it gets things solved. It allows us to reflect and understand what it is that we're actually going through and how we're going to progress forward. So, journaling is, I think it's hugely important. And my best ones are when I truly am in like a not so great place and I'm able just to kind of write that down and just share it. And it makes me feel better. Like, oh shoot, like this is good. Like, hey, kids, you're going to go through tough times. And hopefully when you reflect back on this, you saw that, you know, dad went through tough times too, and that's normal. And it's just part of life.
Yeah. Those are great points. I mean, cause when you bottle stuff up, nothing gets resolved and it just makes it worse. But the act of being vulnerable, you hit the nail on the head there. Like that's what helped me build my business is not because I was fit. There's a lot of fit people out there. It's because people could relate to the emotional state that I expressed when I went through that stuff. Like stress, battling depression, overcoming addiction, all of those things that I shared, I didn't just share them to tell a story. It was like, this is what I went through. This is what I learned in that process. And this is how it changed my life. So you're giving them a blueprint through your stories. And that's powerful. And then not just that, but when you're, let's say, leading a team or even at home with your family, when you're vulnerable, it gives them permission to be vulnerable and people don't have to feel ashamed of experiencing certain emotions. We all have ups and downs. We're human beings. No one's perfect. The individual that thinks they have to mask that stuff, that person, they're actually keeping themselves stuck or they're making it worse long term. So I love those points. I mean, that was really good.
Well, I want to, I journal too, but, and it's actually, I didn't know you did that, Chad. I think that's awesome. Because then they get to go back and read that. Now, when I journal today, sometimes I write funny notes in there because I know they're going to go back. I'm assuming they're going to go back and read it at some point in time.
Hopefully there's no dad jokes in there.
Well, I don't know if there is or isn't. I'll tell you what, I'm going to journal tomorrow and it's going to be about you making fun of my dad jokes. Okay. Yeah. But it is, today, as I sit here, I am the absolute best version of myself that I believe I've ever been today. I'm firing on all cylinders, but I had to like make that shift. And I can't remember if I was listening to you on a podcast with Tommy or where the heck it was, or if you were speaking it, you know, Sean, but we were talking about like, one of the things I had to do was do, you know, you got to learn to love to do the things you don't want to do. Like, and especially in the days when you don't want to do them. I remember hearing Tyson say that in his interview, you know, as he had to learn how to love the things, you know, on the days he really didn't want to do them or whatever. And one of those things for me is getting up at 5:30, right? Like I don't want to get up at 5:30, but I actually like when I wake up and it says 5:29 and I can beat the alarm clock, like those days, I just started off with like a win. But it's not so much about like, okay, if I got up at 5:45, it's not a big deal. It's the fact that I get up and I get that time to kind of get my shit together and just have that moment for myself. And I journal and I write down all the things. It just starts my day off in the right direction. So I think what I heard you say, Sean, one time is like, oh yeah, it's great. As long as you make sure you're getting enough sleep. Totally true. You got to make sure you have enough sleep. So if getting up at 5:30 makes you groggy and tired and you get home and you're kind of worn out and you go to sleep early, well, what's that actually doing for your family towards the end of the day? Like, so that's not a good thing. But for me right now, the reason I'm doing this, the reason I have Sean on here is because I know as a business leader and a very busy business leader with a very busy home life, I have all these things happening at the same time that I knew I needed to do this to build the foundation of who I am as a human being and to be able to see what can I really accomplish. I needed to be the best version. I needed to show up for myself to be the best version for everything that I knew I had to face, right? So it doesn't mean like I'm not having hard days, like I have hard days. But I know that, you know, there's days, like I said, when Matt, you know, busts my chops because I'm supposed to eat 180 grams of protein and I ended up at 160. I'm like, dude, I'm 20 grams off. That's not that big of a deal. Well, is that how you show up today? Did you show up today short? I'm like, noted. I got it. So, but these things matter because it kind of, you know, it kind of takes it back to the mental, like, how do I approach things? So what I want you to share is because you're working with people like myself, you know, who are in business or, you know, or leaders or just, it doesn't matter. What are some of the things that you're offering to them? So just quick high level, like what are the things that you're, the services that you're offering to them with Unstoppable 365? And then I'm going to ask some questions about some of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, essentially it's personal development, fitness and nutrition and mindset coaching. And we have an app that all our clients get custom programs to follow. So you have a workout on there, nutrition guidelines, other stuff related to personal development. And I have a vast team of coaches and people who help hold our clients accountable and provide support for them. The hardest part is to get organized for people who are running businesses and they have families. And like you said, you have a million moving parts. We want to simplify it and give you a plan that you can follow every day that fits into your whole lifestyle, that's sustainable. So you can get to a healthy weight or build a physique you're proud of or establish these habits, and you can continue to sustain that lifestyle going forward. That's the biggest thing. It's not 75 hard. It's not keto. Those are fad diets and programs. We want to help you to change the way you're living indefinitely going forward.
Got it. So then give the listeners an example of and I'll kind of just fill in the gaps from my experience, and Chad, you could do the same, but what is it that you're doing with someone like me on a weekly basis that is holding me accountable? You said you have the app, which I'm in the app obviously every single day, multiple times a day, because I am logging my food and I'm doing my workouts and I have to log all those things in the app. But like, what is it that you guys are doing weekly, or whatever the different, plans are to hold people like us accountable and then correct us when we need to be corrected?
Yeah, absolutely. So the app has, and business-minded people can appreciate this. They like P&Ls, they like metrics and KPIs. We've taken that same approach and applied it to personal development. So on the app, you got to check a box every day you work out. You got to check a box every day you do this stuff. Me and my other coaches can go through each week and see who's doing the work and who's not. You'll get a video from one of my coaches kind of auditing your profile saying, hey, Chris, you worked out the first 3 days of the week. You didn't the last three. What's going on? You get those check-ins. Then there's multiple calls per week. Calls with me, calls with my coach, Matt. Dr. J does calls, who provides blood work and supplementation for our clients. We have calls every month with Madeline, our dietitian. So there's opportunities for you to get on these coaching calls, ask questions, get direct feedback and guidance. And I myself work with a lot of business owners one-on-one, where I'll do a one-on-one Zoom call with them every single week to review their week, to talk to them about it. Kind of back to Chad's point, like when you talk about things out loud, it helps you to make sense of them more. So there's anywhere from the group coaching all the way up to the one-on-one coaching. And then, you're doing the work with Dr. J as well. You get supplementation, you do your blood work. That's to really take everything to the next level, because the foundation is your habits. You got to eat right. You want to move your body and you want to know what workouts to do. Make sure you're not injuring yourself. You want to know what foods to eat to make sure that you're just being healthier and improving the quality of your health. But then the deep dive with the blood work and then the proper supplementation based on those results, that takes things to that next level as far as energy goes, focus, even stress reduction, sleep. Like a lot of that comes down to your nutrition and your supplementation.
Yeah, I will say this. As soon as you guys put me on the supplements, and I remember Chad was taking them like well before I started doing it, and remember him talking about how much it just like made him, like it was helpful for him and made him, I think, God, Chad, that was even maybe even Rhino X the previous year when you came out and you were already on supplements.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. And I think the biggest piece is for me, like, all right, if I'm going to pay for these things and I'm going to do these things for myself, like I've got to be willing to hold myself accountable. I think it's easy when you lead an organization or hey, you've experienced a level of success that like accountability goes out the window. And I think it was to my previous question is like, high achievers, they've held themselves accountable to a certain point, but like, is there that next level? I'm performing here, which is great, but can I perform even higher? So I think that's the important part, and where I've seen a lot of the success is, really enlisting someone to hold me accountable to doing these things. Like, at the top, you don't get yelled at a lot, right? You do, like, there's no one there saying, well, you didn't do your job today. But to me, this has been a good exercise in like, hey, I don't want to really get, I want to be on the up and up here with my coach. And I think it speaks to the power of coaching, right? I always think about like Tiger Woods, one of my favorite athletes of all time. He has like, he's went through so many coaches and still has coaches. And it's like, well, he's the best golfer on the planet. Maybe not now anymore, but was for a time, was unbelievable, but yet he still had coaches all the time. How do you, I guess, Sean, maybe a question is like, where do you see people that you're working with kind of struggle with that accountability piece? I think that was for me, and I don't know about Chris, but like, it was like, you know, like, I feel like I'm doing things all right. Like, where do you see people kind of struggling to embrace that accountability?
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, a lot of the clients that we have, they are the like the top dog of their life. They're the leader. They're the person holding other people accountable. You know, they're typically the business owner. They don't have that oversight. And it's a relationship. You know, you got to know how to speak to certain people, what's going to really get them fired up. Some guys need to be talked to a certain way that pisses them off a little. Like, you call them out, you challenge them. I'm a competitive guy. So if someone challenges me and say, hey, Sean, you know, you're doing all this stuff, but when you go home, you're on your phone, you're not really being present with your family, I'm not going to like the way that makes me feel, because I don't want to be that guy. So I take it as a personal challenge, and that's going to motivate me. Other guys, they might not react well to that. They might get a little disgruntled or upset. So you got to be able to read people and understand like what really is going to motivate them the most. Most guys, though, that I work with, they like to be challenged and called out because they don't have that in their life. So if I even, you know, cuss at them a little bit and like say, hey, dude, like, you're being a pussy. You're making excuses. That's not the man you said you want to be. You told me the first day you want to be an example for your children. You want to hold a higher standard. You're not doing it. So like, either you don't like, and just be honest. You got to be honest with people. And when it comes from a genuine place that I care, I want the best for you, and they can feel that, that's a big difference than them just feeling like I'm talking crap to them, you know? And that's when the accountability piece, they appreciate it. And they're like, dude, thank you. Like, I need that, you know? And so it's about getting, you got to get close enough to people where you can have those open, honest conversations without them getting upset, and knowing that you're doing it because you really care about them.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. What do you see? Like, 'cause I think, you know, like, my first reaction to, like, you know, hey, taking vitamins, doing the blood work, doing all this stuff, it was kind of like, well, like, I feel pretty good right now. Where do you, I guess, I don't even know if you can like explain this, but like, what would you tell people who are like listening to this and going, you know what, like, okay, that sounds great. Like, vitamins, the workouts, the this, like, I know it's great, but also like, I feel like I'm in a pretty good place. Like, what would you tell people like, hey, there's another, like, how would you explain to them that there's like another level of performance that they're not even like, they're not even scratching the surface. I remember my first conversation with Dr. J, and he's like, dude, like, based on what I'm seeing here, you are literally like trying to pull this off at like minimal like levels of like what I'm seeing. This is frankly quite scary. And I'm like, well, kudos to me. And he's like, no, but you don't understand. Like, there's another level of like performance that you don't know what you don't know, but you've never experienced it before. Like, how do you get people over that hump?
Yeah, it's funny. I had the same conversation with him. First time I did my blood work, I was like, man, I feel amazing. Like, I don't know how I could feel any better than I do. And he laughed at me. He's like, you just normalized the level that you're at. He's like, yeah, you don't even know what it's like to hit that next level. And he's right. He's right. As far as like focus, mental stamina, like being able to stay on point and focused throughout the day, I've noticed a big increase. Like, Zooms after Zooms, recording podcasts, I just have, you know, a lot of clarity and mental stamina. The ability to handle stress and sleep has improved for me. So for people that are like, I feel pretty damn good, I tell them, you know, you probably do, man. You're like, I'm glad you do. But you know, here's the thing. When you optimize your health, what you're doing is optimizing yourselves long term. So if you do get to live another 40, 50, 60 years, like, what you're doing is you're creating longevity by taking care of yourself now. Right? Like, you don't just get old overnight. It's incremental. So for me, I want to be around as long as I can at a high level, highly functioning, cognition, energy. And so that's why I'm looking into all this stuff now and starting to implement it in my life. And I think it just takes time to educate people, whether it's through content, whether it's through literature, and help them to understand like, okay, you know, you've normalized the level you're at. You could probably have better sleep, better energy. Like, there's certain markers that we can improve. And if you were able to do that, like, imagine your productivity or your relationships or how that would impact your life. So it's kind of having that same discussion that Dr. J had with both of us that could shift someone's perspective. And at the end of the day, some people will say, maybe this isn't for you. Maybe you're fine just doing what you've been doing. And if you want to stay average, then just keep doing what you're doing. Kind of throw that out there a little bit.
Yeah, I think that what a good call out here is, again, sometimes you don't know what you don't know, right? Or you've normalized what you think is normal, or really you have a whole nother level that you could go. I think a lot of people do have a whole nother level they could go, like that they just don't know about. And I learned that just from, just when you guys got me on supplements, because you make it so easy because I got two packets. It's pretty easy to take the packets. They're labeled AM, PM. Pretty easy. but I did notice like fairly quick too that I started feeling even sharper in the mornings. Like I could definitely feel like, okay, I feel like I'm firing on all cylinders right now, and to where, to all the way to the point of where I normally get up, you know, I don't look at my phone. I usually grab my journal and I just crank away at the journal right off the bat. Boom, get up, kick on the fireplace, get my coffee, and I journal. Chad, he has a perfect picture in his mind right now of what that looks like because he knows my routine. That's why he knows that fireplace. He knows where I sit. He knows the whole deal.
I felt bad because I interrupted last time I was out there. I was like, oh, shoot. He's in his morning routine and here's me. Hi, how's it going? What's going on?
Chad was up earlier that day. But I get in this routine, whereas now what I've noticed is sometimes I wake up and before I'm even like out of my bedroom and walking out, my brain's already going. And I just, and so I've kind of changed my routine a little bit to just let my brain do what it does. And then I will, as long as I still get in my journaling, I'm good to go. But sometimes, man, like my brain's ready. And so I'm getting down, I'm taking notes, you know, or the things that way I can at least get them out of my head before I can go into journaling. Cause once I go into journaling, like things shift for me because now I'm focused on, you know, my tasks in the journal. But the supplements have done so much for me being sharp. Like, I feel like I'm so on, like, everything. When I say I'm firing on all cylinders, like, I am firing on all cylinders. And it's not every day, but it's most days. So, and if I've, and like, I went, I traveled and I forgot my supplements and it was just an overnight. It's just an overnight. So I missed a PM and an AM. And that missing, the guilt I felt by not having those supplements on the 2 days I met. And it was like, oh, wow, because I was like, you know, I'm dedicated to taking because I know what they are doing for me. So I want to ask you this question then. So we're talking a little bit about physical from your physical fitness, but we talk a little bit, I mean, we're talking a lot about mental. And I'm not saying that they're not important, but to you, Sean, which one of those is most important? Is it your mental or your physical fitness?
I mean, it's really hard to answer that because I think they're so intertwined. And they both, you know, sharpen one another. Yeah. I'd say your mental, because everything starts as a thought. You know, I wouldn't have started working out if I didn't think about it first. I wouldn't have got sober if I didn't think about it first. So your mental for sure. But yeah. Then, you know, your physical can take your mental to a whole nother level once you're on that path.
Okay. So I'm glad to hear you say that because I felt like it was the same thing. Like I had to get my mind right before I could start getting my body right. So basically I had to get myself talked into going down this path or even taking this step to do something different, right? Getting out of that comfort zone. It's like the David Goggins thing where you kind of get in the routine and he's trying to work himself out of a routine, being uncomfortable constantly. But I had to mentally prepare myself to do it. So now I want to translate this to business because I want to make sure I understand, like, what's the connection? I want your opinion. What's the connection between physical fitness? Okay, we've already decided we need to make sure we're getting healthier. What's the connection between physical fitness and leadership in business?
Yeah, that's a great one. I mean, I can't think of anywhere else in the world like the gym as an arena to sharpen myself on a daily basis. I think you alluded earlier to like setting PRs or getting better. Like you can do that every day in the gym. Like I go to the gym still and I'll hit like 13 reps on a weight that I normally hit 12, or I'll go up in weight. And I'm like, damn, dude, like I'm getting better still. I'm getting, it's not just stronger, like it's symbolic of personal growth, right? And so what that does is it continues to build that level of confidence in yourself. It's instills discipline day by day doing that. So from a leadership standpoint, like you're being an example for other people. And so like the physicality is very important for me because it changes my energy. If you just let me sleep in tomorrow and I go lead a team meeting, like I could still do it because I've done this for a while, but I get up and do my routine and go crush it at the gym and my level of energy, my charisma, my passion, it's on a whole nother level. So I use working out as a catalyst to elevate my energy, right? And when you have that elevated energy and that passion, and you're able to transfer that to other people, that's powerful. So when it comes to leadership, that's the main thing I think about, is like my energy. Is my energy infectious? Do they actually believe what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of people that want others to believe them and to lead those individuals. But here's the thing, if you're not leading yourself in your life, like, it almost comes off as inauthentic. People pick up on that energy. They really do, man. And so that's the main thing that I've noticed.
I think you're spot on. And I think that those who, you know, I was an athlete all through high school, college, you know, working out is like not something that comes difficult, but it's, you know, I still got to get up and I still got a lot more responsibility. So it's harder to do, but you are so spot on with that level of energy. Like if I get up and get my workout in, like I am so much better. And it seems weird. Like even if I have like a workout that's like, you know, and really kind of mailed it in there. Like even the fact that you got up, you went to the gym, you did your thing, whatever it may be, like all of a sudden that energy just shifts. And I think that's the same for what we were talking about earlier, like journaling. Like when I sit down to journal, the first thing I do is I write 3 gratitudes.
So I do.
Impart that on my kids. Like, hey, just what are you grateful for? And just writing 3 sentences that could be like, I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful that I have a house to sleep in. I'm grateful that there was heat last night and it was cold out. Like just those 3 simple things that we often take for granted, I think is such superpower. Like your mindset, you can just feel yourself shift. And so I try to convey that to all my people. I'm like, hey, it's all the small things. It's the simple workout, even if it's like 20 minutes. Like, hey, 20 minutes, I got on the bike, I rode, or I went for a walk, or whatever it was. Like I wasn't feeling it, but I did a little something. All of a sudden, like your mental like clarity just shifts and you can be a better person for all those that you.
By now, you've probably heard how much of a proponent I am for BlueOn, but I'm not the only one. When you talk to service managers using BlueOn, the stories all sound very familiar. Nick Christensen over at Herbal Heating says his team saved 46 hours in just the first month. Between the parts lookup, wiring diagrams, and AI troubleshooting, his techs are solving issues faster and ordering the right part the first time. It's even streamlined communications between the techs and the parts department. They just screenshot over the right part from BlueOn and send it over. It's simple, it's accurate, and it works. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Do yourself a favor, click the link in the description and book a quick demo to see it in action.
Lead. I gotta throw this out there because this is like a topic that comes up and I hear both you guys talking about working out in the morning. I'm not a morning workout guy. Like I don't want to work out in the morning because I would rather take that hour and a half chunk that I have, which is about what it is, and just be in like, because I tell you, Sean, like I'm feeling the sharpest in the mornings and I'm trying to max that. And I can't go and work out and then take notes at the same. I have to focus on one or the other. But I'm really, really good at going at 4. And so if I go at 4-ish, I can get it all knocked out before it's like evening time, right? Like kids are still doing homework and sports and stuff like that. So I kind of have that moment to go do it. But I'm so dialed in at that time. But I don't feel like, I would say this, afterwards, I'm always like, thank God I worked out in the evening because I'm feeling a little tired right now because I send it whenever I go to work out. Like I'm definitely squeezing in a lot. Matt was telling me, as I said, dude, I'm cranking out these workouts in like 35, 45 minutes. He's like, are you doing the resting in between? And I said, I am not doing the resting that it's asking me to do in between because I'm just cranking through these things. I'm like, oh, it's good for my cardio. He's like, well, you're lifting less on your fourth set. I'm like, I'm trying not to though. I'm actually just cranking through it. But you know, the point is that like, I don't think everybody has to work out in the morning, right? Like I do a great job of accomplishing what I think, and maybe I would be better. Maybe you would say, Chris, you would be better if you did it in the morning.
I think the best plan is the one that you can consistently execute. So I've done workouts in the afternoon too, where, cause I'm like you, I like, if I had it my way, I'd have an hour and a half of journaling and reading in the morning. I like to drink coffee and read and journal and reflect. Yeah. That's what I did every day in prison. for 5.5 years. It's just programmed into me. So I get up at 4 and I have about an hour of that. But then I'm going to the gym, working out, getting home, and I get the kids ready for school and take them to school before I start my day. But, you know, by this time, it's getting to 3 p.m. here. Like, we have so much going on. My wife's pregnant. I wouldn't really be consistently getting to the gym later in the day. So that's why I do it in the morning. But as long as you get that consistent workout in and you're feeling good and you're getting results in your life, you can do it any which way you want. I like it in the morning because I feel like it just sets the tone for my day. And kind of like Chad was saying, it's hard to get up early. It's hard to go lift heavy weights in the dark. And there's something internal that takes place when you do that over time where you're like building up your self-worth. And ultimately, what I think success is becoming so proud of who you are, not in a way that's vain or egotistical, but like genuine, like self-love, like, dude, I'm proud of who I'm becoming, that you just transfer that energy everywhere you go to people. And that's how you build businesses and recruit people and fall in love with your wife. And like, that's how you create everything, honestly, is you become someone you're so freaking proud of. You're in such alignment with who you want to be that law of attraction stuff becomes a reality in your life.
Yeah, I'm a big believer of law of attraction. I want to, because this podcast is already flying by. We're like 50 minutes into this thing already. I'm a little past the top of the hour. Like I said, is that okay with you guys? I just got a couple easy questions. I want to make sure I get our listeners can hear. And it's a couple of like takeaways, but this one is, what's a fitness or mindset exercise that every business owner should incorporate into their daily routine?
Ooh, that's good. A fitness or mindset exercise.
Or Sean, you could also answer it in this way. I'm trying to give the listeners one, like whether it be fitness or mindset hack that they could, that they could use every day, in their life, or, if not.
I got so many, but I think one that could be very impactful is kind of what you guys alluded to. If they can get up and for the first 30 minutes, not pick up their phone and look at screens and just be present in the moment and start off by writing some things you're grateful for and some actionable steps that day, dude, that's so powerful. We're always in this reactive state. We're always like putting out fires, answering messages. Like, you don't see the bigger picture or even like realize things that are happening in your life because you're so busy. So that's what I'd say. Spend the first 30 minutes, no phone, and journal some stuff and self-reflect. It's life-changing for people.
Yeah, dude, you know what it is I heard this actually when you were talking, just made me think about it. And I don't know if this is true, if it is or isn't true, but it certainly seems like it would be. Because once you pick up that phone, and let's just say the first thing you do is you start looking at your emails or whatever like that. Like, I'm talking when you get up, you lose your chance at being in a flow state. Like, I liked when I get up and I'm in a flow state, just mean like I've not interrupted my brain pattern, like, or what I'm thinking by looking at something else that's distracted me. And like you said, as soon as I open that email, it's game over for me. Like, it is, I am now moved on to, business mode, as far as like, now I'm in tactical mode. I'm no longer in my flow state mode because now I'm taking action on something. I'm being reactive to whatever I'm reading. So flow state's a thing. Maybe real quick, just explain to our listeners what a flow state is.
I mean, a flow state is where you're suspended in the moment. You're not multitasking. Like, we're in flow state right now. I can talk to you guys for another hour and a half. I love this stuff. Yeah. I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm not looking at my phone. It's on do not disturb. I'm singly focused at the task at hand, where you forget about time. And that's when your best ideas, your most creative self exists. When you're in a reactionary state, you can't be creative or introspective at the same time. And that, for me, like, that's why prison was such a blessing. I learned how powerful self-reflection isolation is, to the point where I seek it out every day, every morning, because that's where all those gems stem from. That's where that intuition, that's where those creative ideas, that new business venture, that potential partnership, that person you met, like, you start just thinking in a different way that can change your behavior over time and change your life. So, I mean, I'm not perfect at that either, Chris. There's some days I wake up and I got a shitload of stuff to do and I just want to take action. Yeah. And I get into my phone and answer messages. I just attack. But it makes me appreciate the days where I can go a little slower and just read a book and journal. And I'm like, damn, dude, that felt good. Like, I'm so tapped in today. So I don't think it, for me, I'm never going to be one or the other. But most of my days, I don't get on my phone for the first 30 minutes and I have that process.
I love it. I mean, I think that I didn't know what it was or even understood it. And once I did, I actually think I legit think about it. When I pick up my phone off the charger, because I don't keep my phone next to my bed, I keep it in the bathroom on purpose. I get up, I pull it off the charger, put it in my pocket. I don't even see it light up. I put it in my pocket. Mainly because I need the flashlight for my journaling from my phone, because it's dark in that room, even with the fireplace on. But once I learned about flow state, it's been in the back of my mind. I can't look at this because it's going to ruin what I'm already like the spot that I'm already in. So, and it took me a while to get to that, because it's like nomophobia. Okay. I don't have my mobile phone and I've got a phobia to it. So it took me a minute to get there.
Yeah. Well, you're looking for messages from me. East Coast time. You're just cringing to try to get to what did he want to tell me?
Yes, that's all I could think of, and is what does Chad have to message me today? Because guaranteed it came in at like 4 a.m. my time, depending on the time of year. Okay, last one. Sorry, I went on a little tangent there, but I thought flow state was really important. Last thing, and then I'll let you guys go. And I appreciate you guys giving me some extra time. You know, a lot of homeowners, or not homeowners, Jesus, a lot of home service business owners, leaders, whatever, struggle with a few of these things. And because you talk so much around a mindset, and we're having a lot of conversation around a mindset, is we struggle with self-doubt, fear, imposter syndrome. There's so many of these things that, like, a perfect example. When we brought on a private equity partner, and I sat in my first board meeting with our capital partners, I certainly had imposter syndrome. I felt like I'm like, God, do I belong here? It's 2 years. I belong. I 100% belong. But at that moment, I was like, how the hell did I even get here? Like, did I just fake my way here? Like, you have this imposter syndrome. Like, I should, you know. But what is some good advice for overcoming these things, right? Like from your perspective, because I know you're having to deal with people, and it might even be pride, right? You probably deal with a lot of prideful people, right? But what are some things that you know that you could share to overcome this fear, this self-doubt, this imposter syndrome with some of these business leaders that they have?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you hear people at the top in any industry or any aspect of life express imposter syndrome. I think it just means you're human. And I think when you're hitting the next level, it'd be very irrational to assume you're going to be 100% comfortable. Like, you're uncomfortable because it's the unknown. It's a new space that you've entered. I think you just got to recognize that and remind yourself of it. Like, I like the book, The Gap in the Game. Have you guys read that book? They talk about measuring backwards. Dude, I still do that all the time. When you're striving to hit a new level you've never been at, and you start questioning yourself, remind yourself of who the F you are and how far you've come. Start measuring backwards and look at all those milestones, all those obstacles, all those moments you wanted to quit, or that time you had to pivot. Or, you know, that's why prison is an asset for me. I look at that and I go, Sean, if you can overcome that, you can overcome anything in your life. So I think it's two things. Recognize that when you're entering that next level, you're going to feel a little bit of imposter syndrome and fear or doubt, and remind yourself of who you are and measure backwards. That's why fitness and the things we're talking about are so important, because every day you can build yourself up. Every day you're building your resume. So you know in your heart of hearts, like, who the heck you are. You're like, I've been here. I've been doing this. I've been working on myself. I've been showing up every day. And that instills a genuine confidence in who you are that's undeniable.
Yeah, I know we're trying to wrap this thing up, but I relate so much to that. I feel like, you know, as we talked at the beginning, you know, someone like myself who, you know, feels like, oh my gosh, like, so many blessings, so much, you know, just gratitude for where that you've come from. And then you experience a little bit of struggle and it's hard. And you're like, hold on a second, this doesn't feel right. What do I do now? And what I've learned to embrace is, like, the struggle is the most beautiful part of the story. Like, the struggle for you, it was prison and being in a situation that you didn't expect to be in. And to me, like, being able to learn from that is, like, what has brought you to this place. And I think when we think about our lives, like, yeah, those times when we struggle, those times that are tough, those times that are, you know, it sucks to wake up early. It sucks to do the little things. It sucks to do all of this. Like lean into that, lean into the suck, like that isn't fun, because that is what is going to build you into that. And so when you have imposter syndrome and you feel like, I don't belong here, this isn't what I'm about, like, that's all part of the story. Like, that's what makes the story interesting. Like, if everything was easy, well, then everybody would tell the same damn story, and you get to tell your own story. And I just appreciate you sharing what you've shared. I mean, to me, like, I've got notes here, like, this is just like things to reflect on and things to think about. So yeah, this has been awesome.
Yeah. And let me, I know we got to wrap it up, but real quick, like, that's how you provide value for people. So like, Chris, imagine like one of your speaking engagements down the road, being able to share that with an audience of guys who might be going through that too. And they're like, no way, Chris Yano has imposter syndrome. Now, like, you empathize with them, you connect with them, and then you provide insight. Like, that's what's allowed me to continue to progress as a coach and speaker. Like, I have something to share of value because of what I went through, and I learned and grew through it. That's why I speak on stages, because of my story and because of what I learned. So that's a great insight there, Chad. And, you know, appreciate you guys.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on here too. And just for all of our listeners that want to connect with Sean, we'll make sure to share his contact information and in the show notes and things like that. And, you know, he's pretty easy to find on social media, Sean Michael Crane. Pretty easy to look him up. Just hit him in the DMs. He'll respond to you. But he also has his podcast, again, Unspeakable Mindset Podcast. But Sean, man, I really appreciate you coming on here and talking through this. Listen, like, genuinely, I appreciate, you know, there's so many options that we have to choose from to find fitness partners or nutrition partners. And everybody has their way and their things. And I will say, from my personal experience, in the, you know, 3-4 months that we've been doing this together so far, dude, it's been great for me. Like, I'm like, it's a great testimony. And I'm only 4 months in. But I feel good about the relationship I have. I feel good about, that I'm actually getting the attention that I need. I feel like my coach, Matt, is paying close attention to what I'm doing, asking me the right questions, and holding me accountable. And all of these things are setting the foundation for my everyday, right? I get to check these boxes. I'm eating so much more than I've ever ate before in my entire life right now. And I'm like, how can I eat this much every single day? Now I wake up, it's just part of my routine. Like, I know what I got to eat before I leave the house. I know what I got to eat between getting to the office and noon, between my noon and my workout, and workout to dinner. I know exactly what I got to do. I didn't know those things 5 months ago. So appreciate, man, what you're doing, you know, for me. I'm sure my wife would tell you the exact same thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I love seeing guys like you, man, make a commitment and follow through. And that's what we want. We want to be able to support you, give you a plan that you can execute. And that's why I build a team, you know, like, I'm just one guy, but I got a lot of amazing people around me, from Matt to Dr. J to, we have a whole women's coaching program within Unstoppable. So we're going to keep growing, man, and keep changing lives. And you're like a testament, right, of the process. So I can't wait to see you continue to progress and share your results with everybody that you impact and inspire.
So I will. And I will share it. Like I said, I think I just want to give it some time to where I have a few different, you know, options that I can share just to show some progression over a little bit longer of a stint. But this was good to come on here and just kind of talk about, you know, the early, you know, what the early progress has looked like. So I just appreciate coming on and giving you the time. And I'm glad you put the platform together that serves someone well like me. So I appreciate it. And to all of our listeners, again, we'll share all the information you need to know to be able to get a hold of Sean and any of all in the post and all that stuff. So it'll be easy to connect with them. And then, you know, hopefully the takeaway here is maybe you're comfortable because you don't know what you don't know, right? And that you want to take another step because maybe, like Chad's point, you have a whole nother level you didn't even know that you had. Or same as me, right? Like, or maybe you're like, hey, maybe I'll consider taking these supplements, but you don't know what to take. Well, guess what? If you go to somebody like Sean, you go to Dr. J, get your blood worked out. Like, you don't got to think about it. They do it for you. Like, it's pretty easy. Like, I know exactly what I got to take every morning because it comes in a nice little packet. Right. And then, but you know, if you got to get your mindset right, you got to get your fitness right. Like, you got to start to put these pieces together so that way you show up for yourself. and Sean and his team, you know, make it easy. And if guys like Chad and I are on here saying, listen, like guys who, you know, we've accomplished some things and we still feel like we got a lot more in the tank to go, but we need to be firing at all cylinders. Well, you know, we believe this is exactly what you got to do to be at your best in all phases of your life. So you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days.